I want to talk about an idea that's stayed with me for a very, very long time, but recently it's taken on a whole new life. And I've really begun to see sort of, it's great living with an idea for a while because you begin to see sort of through its eyes, right? It really begins to permeate. And all of a sudden you have these revelations and you begin to see permutations and tendrils and variations and implications. Anyway, this idea, it's not really an idea, it's a distinction that becomes an idea that's not really an idea. And that's the distinction between meaning and sense. And then what really begins to, has begun really to interest me is sense. And what a strange and beautiful operation sense and sense making is. When you think about the distinction between meaning and sense, the easiest way I think to talk about it is in terms of words, where we really, you know, we have a very clear image, very clear practice that we talk about the meaning of a word. So here's a word that I, for some reason, I like quite a bit, and it's been on my mind, smattering. The word smattering. You look it up, you know, and it, here it is, you know, at a dictionary.com. It's a slight, superficial, or introductory knowledge of something, right? It's slight or superficial. I suppose that's right, but we can argue about that. But that's its meaning, and that's what we sort of how we expect dictionaries to sort of operate. You know, they give us this very succinct, sort of monotone, clear, conceptual description or laying out or exposition of the meaning of something. Let's think about the sense of the word smattering. Is it really just a slight or superficial or introductory knowledge of something? Isn't it more just this sort of almost haphazard, or perhaps not almost, perhaps just haphazard sort of laying down, right, of fragments in, you know? So you have a, you know, I have a smattering knowledge of astronomy. Okay, well, these things have come from all over the place. A smattering is not just that your knowledge is superficial. It's that it doesn't cohere into a clear concept or into a sort of monolithic understanding. I don't mean that in a negative sense, monolithic. I just mean when you have a smattering of something, it's all these little pieces that come from all these different sort of sources, and it's just ba-da-da-da, ba-ba-ba-ba-ba, right? And that's the sense of the word. You hear it both in the sound, right, in the way it sort of performs itself, what people might think of as onomatopoeia. But that's not what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about onomatopoeia. I'm talking about something that my great friend and the great poet writes about in the Poetical Dictionary, one of the greatest books ever written. And, you know, he definitely gives, when people say, that, you know, isn't this onomatopoeia, he says, you know, abbreviation, you know, abbreviation is like abbreviated, is like a bird pecking at something it should have gotten the first time, right? I mean, it's such a long word. It's anything but abbreviated, right? But it still has a sense, and the sense he gives it of this bird pecking at the thing it should have gotten once is so great. And that really is the sense of the word. There's some labor to abbreviation. It's not simply a condensation or a reduction or a simplification. Same with smattering. It's clearly not just a superficial notion of language, right? There's so much more. It's a particular distribution or a particular, the shape, performance, operation of not knowing, not being an expert. I got a smattering. I got this pitter-patter, this, you know, it's the randomness, it's the dispersal, it's the lack of coherence. It's the more sort of networked sort of relationship between these things. I know all these different facts from astronomy, and I can probably try to fill in the rest based on intuition and an understanding of how knowledge systems are created, but I don't really freaking know. It's just, you know, it's just a smattering. We don't don't just operate with meanings of words, right? We operate with senses of words, with the sort of, you know, for lack of a better word, it's affect, but also it's shape, it's effects, right? The way it sort of moves our mouths. I mean, there's some words, you know, I've always been suspect of French, right? Because it makes me say tu, right? And how my body feels when I say tu just feels awful, right? It feels hilarious, comical, and just wrong, right? So there's a words literally are little mini choreographies, right? Your body is determined by those words. We read the code on the page, right? We read the code in our heads. We repeat the thing that we've been told to do. We say the sounds that the word tells us to say, right? Just the execution of a piece of code. So in that sense, we are choreographed. We are performed by a word. And that's part of its sense. How does it perform you? You know, I think about the opening of Lolita, Nabokov, you know, and his relishing of how he says Lolita and how it skips across his palate. I mean, it's their words are necessarily sensual. Meaning is not, I would say it's not sensual. It's not extensive, right? Doesn't take up space, but. Words have a whole central component completely devoid of their meaning. You don't have to know the meaning of a word in order to engage with it, right? You can say smattering and not know its meaning, right? There is simply a pure, almost brute physicality to words that is distinct from its meaning. Once meaning enters the fray, once meaning enters your purview, once you have both the sense and the meaning, it changes the choreography, no doubt, right? I mean, it's rather than just moving to the rhythm of the letters, you're also moving to the rhythm of the meaning. So what is this meaning? What does meaning mean? Meaning is tricky, right? I mean, meaning is kind of, meaning moves a lot slower than the sense of something. Right, and something about meaning is it's not immediate, right? It meaning persists. I can say the word smattering, not know in that immediacy of saying it, I cannot know what it means, and then I go and I look it up. It's somewhere else, right? So the meaning is not immediate, right? Meaning is necessarily a mediation, right? Which means this whole bunch of sounds takes a detour. It doesn't just happen right then and there. It's mediated by these other sort of forces that are cultural, that are historical, that are institutional, right? Dictionaries are one of the main sort of, probably the main force that perpetuates the meaning of a word. Which is not to say meaning is universal, right? It's not platonic. It's not some ideal. Meanings change. Of course meanings change in Poetical Dictionary, in Lauren Green's incredible book, he defines the word doom, D-O-O-M, doom. And it turns out, you know, doom begins as justice, right? Doom means justice. And over centuries, over millennia, doom comes to mean the end of everything, the end of justice, the annihilation of everything, right? Doom is doomed, right? And as an aside, in that great book, he tells it as a kind of saga, you know, like an Icelandic saga of doom's doom, right? Where it moves from meaning justice to meaning the annihilation of all order. So meanings change, but they're glacial. Right, they move much slower, right? It's almost tectonic, right? Or, you know, you picture these just the shifts over time, over sense, over use that keeps, you know, all these things happening up here, all these bodies interacting, speaking, theater, you know, books, novels, conversations, together they sort of conspire and they begin to sort of, the reverberations begin to shift the meaning of words. We see that it's happening very quickly now because we're writing so much due to text an email and Facebook posts and Twitter. It's a lot of writing, a lot of use of language. And there's a lot of changes that are happening very quickly that people love to comment on. One is, you know, one of the more famous ones is literally, right? People use literally to mean anything but literally. But it's not that they're using the word wrong. The meaning is shifting, right? So it literally doesn't, I mean, oh my God, you could go on forever about why it's the word literally that's changing its tether to meaning, right? Of all words that should have a tight tether to its meaning, that should just be fucking staple to its meaning. You think it would be literally, but literally it is unmoored and it's become more of an emphatic, right? More of just a really, yes, this has become about immediacy. Just, yeah, it's literally the greatest thing. So again, meaning is not platonic. It's not this thing fixed in place and then there's a surface layer. The relationship between sense and meaning is much more intertwined. At one level, they are different strata, you know, and the strata of meaning moves much slower. Meanings of things don't change as quickly, although they can change very abruptly, right? Like an earthquake, a volcano, or literally, things can change very, very quickly. But that's what meaning is, right? It has a kind of generality. It's something we all agree to. It's distinct from somehow meaning tries its best to sift away, right? To sort of brush away the body of the word, right? It wants to get at this other thing, not really necessarily its core, but its essence, its soul, right? It's the invisible thing it signifies, right? And the body is just sort of in the way. I mean, that's sort of how dictionaries operate, right? They're sort of in Nietzsche's sense, right? They're filled with results of all. They kind of hate the body, right? Because they don't really ever engage with the bodiness. Lack of a better word, right? The bodiliness, the physicality of words and of language in a way that poets and great writers do, right? They operate at that level, not at the level of the meaning, the level of a word's operation. It's all sensuality. It's all sort of physical being in the world, right? I mean, words are things. But meaning doesn't want, it tries its best to brush away the thingness of words and articulate something else that's general, that moves slower. That when I say general means it's not just right here. It's not just the way someone said something, right? It doesn't make a difference who says it or how they say it. It stands above all those things, all those different uses, the way I use the word smattering, you use the word smattering, they use smattering in Florida and Georgia and, I don't know if they use it in England, in New York, in, you know, 400 years ago, 300 years ago today. The idea is that the meaning more or less stays the same. It might change, like we said, certain words change. But it's different from the particular use, the way somebody says something and the particular moment when someone says something, you know, and the way they said smattering. It's distinct from the way. It's not that it doesn't have a way. Meaning has a way, but it's distinct from the way it's uttered. Sense then is this other thing, this other operation, this other coming together of bodies, not according necessarily to a concept, not subservient to everything. So there's a sort of immediacy. Sense just sort of happens. I spent a while today sitting in the window of a coffee shop on the corner of 25th and Mission Street in San Francisco. There's so much activity there. Holy moly, buzzes, people, all colors, sizes, economic classes, cars. I mean, there's just so much activity. There's such a sense, so many different things happening in those moments. What does it mean? I don't know. You know, and we can talk about that, and there's a certain, you know, sociology and psychology and all sorts of disciplines that would portend to sort of proffer what all those things I'm seeing and interacting together mean. But there's something else. There's a sense, right? There's a mood. There's a kind of, there's a happening. There's an event. And it's not that this sense is ahistorical or acultural. On the contrary, right? I mean, how can they be, right? Everything we know is enculturated. This is historical. Is a trajectory still happening from a place and a time and an embodiment. So it's not that it's ahistorical. It's just that the history comes to bear right then and there, right? It's a kind of condensation. But also an expression that inflects the condensation. So it's not a condensation of like absolutely of an identity. It's a repetition, I suppose, for lack of a better word at this moment. Maybe repetition is the perfect word. But it's all these things happening. These people from their heritages, where they're from, how they look, how they smell, what they've eaten that day, all the different senses and smells and moods, the weather, the shadows, the various states of dyspepsia. And, you know, I mean, it's a lot of burrito joints around there. There's a lot of dyspepsia. A lot of excitement, too, because burritos are delicious, right? So the dyspeptic is not a bad thing. It's just a state and it's a sense, and it sort of infuses that moment at the corner of 25th and Mission and me sitting there in my particular state. So there's maybe a component of sense. That sense is always perspectival and embodied. Sense happens at a particular point. It zeroes in on me. If meaning is a general thing, right, begin to talk about something above this moment. Sense is like that cone, right? It's that boom. Sense happens here, right? But also goes out, right? As it zooms into me, it's also me going out. You know, so the cone is also a reverse funnel or a megaphone, right? I see these things and this mattering of things that go here. Maybe not into a concept or a body of knowledge or into, you know, the symptomology of this or that disease. Although we could do that, and that is a kind of sense making. But there is another moment there that remains sort of affective and emotive, and it's not that those things are indifferent or against ideas and concepts, because those concepts and ideas have affects too. I'm just saying that sense is this thing that emerges at the seams of things, at the place where different bodies, cars, clouds, shadows, burritos, Deleuze, me, a book, love, all these things. But as they all interact, they make a certain shape. And that shape or that shaping or that particular distribution, that archipelago, that territorialization of these particular bodies sort of together constituting this assemblage, that is sense. Sense happens at the cusp and in the seams. It's right always at the where bodies are leaning into each other and into time. To create this thing that is not a thing per se, but an experience that we will call sense.